Welcome to the Chelsea Skidmore Show. I'm here today with my guest, Lauren Everts Botsick.
It depends on the day. Lauren Everts Botsick. Sometimes I use my husband's name, sometimes not.
Lauren Botsick.
Lauren Everts, Lauren Botsick, whatever.
Oh, okay. Which one? You're Lauren Everts.
I'm Lauren Everts, but my husband's last name is Botsick.
Okay. I don't know why your name is sort of a tongue twister. Has anyone else ever said
that? Yeah, I got to cut one of them. I was just trying to do like a Kim Kardashian West thing, and needs to be cut though. It's got to go. I don't know which one. Depends. Like I said, on the day.
Yeah.
If he's annoying me.
I know. I have that too. Well, my name is Chelsea Skidmore, but my husband's last name is Randolph. And since I am a comedian, I've already established myself as Chelsea Skidmore. So to be nice, I put in parentheses Randolph on social media, but I feel like it's confusing.
It is.
And it's weird to have it in parentheses. And I just feel like I want to get rid of it or maybe just keep it on Facebook.
I wish one of the names was ugly, like really ugly, like disgusting. So I could just say, oh, crop that one. But I kind of like his. I kind of like mine. So, just one day. We'll pick.
Yeah. So how would you describe yourself? I was saying when you came in that I would call you like a motivational person, but I feel like you do so much. So I started following you, first of all, a couple of months ago, and I found you to be extremely inspiring because I don't really, my world doesn't really have like a lot of people like you in it, or I feel like the only other people that I've seen are men doing it.
A lot of men. It's very heavily male dominated. And I don't know if motivational is the right word.
I know.
It's like, I think that I try to inspire people to be the best version of themselves. And I just give tools and habits and tactics to people, and they can take what they like and apply it to their own life or leave what they don't like. That's what I try to do. That's like what I try to do, rinse and repeat. I'm not like Tony Robbins on stage, telling you to jump up and down.
But you could be.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know if I have the energy.
I know. How does he?
I don't know. It's wild.
Doesn't he go for like 16 hours at a time?
He goes for 16 hours at a time. He jumps on a trampoline to get his lymphatic system going. You got to watch the documentary.
I've seen it, and of course I cried.
It's wild.
How does he not go to the bathroom? That's all I could think about when I was watching it. How does he not go to the bathroom?
I don't know. I have no idea. He's wild. But I think he's like motivational. I just really want everyone in my community to be the best version of themselves, whatever that looks like. Mm-hmm. And I try to create like a non-judgmental space. I don't know what that's called. Motivational.
Well,
influencer.
I think I'm drawn to saying motivational because I find you to be very motivating. I feel like I've learned so much from just following you in general, and you create this whole kind of almost like this different world and way of living that I feel like none of my friends, I don't think, follow stuff like this.
I think it's optimization.
Okay.
So what I do,
and I'm struggling. You can see that
that's
I'm
the
struggling.
Word. I think it's optimization. I try to give, like I said, the tiny tools that you can apply every single day that aren't a big deal. So little tiny things I'm just going to like give examples. So like adding a salt rock lamp to your nightstand, something it's so little, but it's so good for you. And it's something you can do every night. A silk pillowcase, you're laying your head on that pillowcase for 8 hours every single night. You should be thinking about what's on the pillowcase. And if you can just know that, okay, this is the silk pillowcase to buy. This is the one to get. This is an anti-aging pillowcase. I try to like weed through all the bullshit to tell you what that is so you can live life more optimized.
No, I love it. It's working.
Okay.
I have a silk pillowcase.
Did we explain that in 500
sentences? Well, let's say, and I guess we kind of jumped over, you have a very popular Instagram. You have a popular podcast. Do you want to just introduce yourself?
Yeah, I mean,
I feel like you do it the best.
Podcaster, a blogger. I've been a blogger for 10 years, so it's been a long time.
Wow.
I've been blogging like 5 to 7 days a week for the last 10 years.
And have you always kept it up 5 to 7 days a week and consistently for the past 10 years?
I have. And I was, when I first started, I was so broke. I had no money. I was living out of my godparents' house. I was putting myself through college and bartending and teaching Pilates and Pure Bar and seriously had nothing. So I had to find ways to optimize my life on a budget. And so that's kind of where that sort of came out of. And I blogged, I blogged 7 days a week and didn't make one dime for 3 years.
Wow.
So I haven't had like this experience where I, started blogging and went viral. It's been a very slow, strategic build. But yeah, I still love the blog because I think, I know that things are moving towards video, but I think that the blog sort of has like a special part in my heart because it's like the foundation of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And the podcast is so amazing, as you know, because it's so intimate and it saves the audience time, which is amazing.
Yeah.
And that's my whole platform, is to save people time. So the podcast, if you can get your nails done and listen to the podcast and learn, or you can do the laundry or cook or do something while you're learning or laughing or being educated, that just gets me off.
Yeah, I always listen to a podcast like whenever I'm driving on my way, or like if I'm doing chores around the house. It's just like, why not learn while you're doing something?
Absolutely. Podcasting is, it is the only medium that saves time. It's passive multitasking. You can do all these different things and learn. It is the only medium that does that.
So where'd you grow up?
I grew up in San Diego.
And what was your life like when you were growing up? Were you always this kind of type A organized person? Or
I'm not that organized.
Really?
No, I'm okay. Not that.
Do you want me to turn on that fan, by the way?
Whatever you want to do, I'm fine. If you want to turn it on, you can.
Okay. But you can keep.
Yeah, go. Okay. Whatever.
Thank you.
I'm easy. You can turn on the fan or not. I'm not really organized. Like, I'm not organized with my time management at all. I'm trying to get organized with my time management. I have someone who helps me with my calendar, and it's still, if I didn't have that, it would be way more of a clusterfuck. It would be a mess.
Do you just use your iPhone calendar?
Yeah, I use my iPhone. I'll show. So I color code my iPhone calendar, and
I don't even know how to do that.
It's life changing. See, that's a tip that you can optimize your life.
I need these tips.
This is the day to day. So like she even wrote how much time it takes to get here because she knew that she knows that I'm going to be late. So I have someone I delegate the time management out. I think that the theme of my childhood was like, figure it out. Figure it out.
Were your parents around growing up?
They were, but it was very much like, oh, you want something? Like, go figure it out. And I grew up in a community that was very, very, very wealthy, like a lot of money. And my family wasn't that. We weren't like poor, but we weren't anywhere near. I mean, some of these kids were getting, BMWs and Ferraris and all these things for their 16th birthday. That just wasn't my reality. So what it did though is, it's interesting, it kind of made me level up. Like, you want to go get something, you go get it.
How old were you when you figured that out?
Really young.
Did something specifically happen that made you, can you like pinpoint a certain memory from your past that you felt that kind of switch inside of yourself get ignited?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I experienced kind of adversity in my childhood. I mean, my mom committed suicide when I was 18.
Sorry.
And my sister was 5 years younger than me. And she's 13 years old. It was devastating. And from there, she got really, really addicted to heroin. Mm-hmm. And it was a really long addiction and really brutal. She's sober now. She's been sober for 7 years, thank God. And through that, I learned to, like, whenever I wanted something, like, I had to go make it happen. And what that did is it made me realize that I need to go create my own future, whatever that is. No one's going to do it for me. All these women that I was around had all this money. They all had all access to their moms. Like, I kind of just had to, like, I the only way I can describe it is to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you want it, figure it out. So I had a job from a very, very young age. I think I had a job 14 and never, ever, ever stopped working. Working has been like a big, big theme in my life. And if I ever, ever wanted to make something happen, I went out and made it happen. I've always known it's not going to come to me.
Did you ever, you're a hot girl. So did you ever have any of that?
I'm a hot girl. I feel like a roly-poly right now. I'm 7 months pregnant.
Oh my God. Congrats, by the way.
I'm a hot girl. Thank you. I feel hot. I feel sweaty. My vagina's sweating. Like,
So is mine. I'm not even pregnant.
I'm sweating out of every crevice. I ate a loaf of sourdough last night. I don't know if I'm a huckle.
No, but you're very attractive. And growing up, I mean, I love that from such a young age that you already had that, you know, self-motivation, drive, determination. Did you have to come up against any sort of like, or did you have friends around you that were hot girl entitlement, like wanting things to be handed to them?
I think I grew up.
I want free shit.
Yeah. I think I grew up around a lot of people that were told that you're going to go to high school, then you're going to graduate and you're going to go to an Ivy League school. And by the time you're out of school, you're going to go work on Madison Square or like Central Park or whatever. And in this huge office, and you're going to be a CEO. And that is not reality. And right now, I'm seeing that as I look back on a lot of people that I went to college with. That's not what reality is. Reality is if you want something, you have to go out and you have to make it happen. And it's not as easy as just going to a good college. So I grew up around that. There was entitlement because of the wealth in the area. It's not that I want to bash the area because I loved where I went to school, but I definitely was very observant and self-aware. And I was always observing. I look back and I notice that. And I don't know if that's just something that was ingrained in me. I think the way my childhood was my parents were very non-judgmental, which I hope that I can be a parent like that. They always were like, go unapologetically be yourself. And always encouraged whatever I wanted to do. So while a lot of the parents in my area wanted the Ivy League school, whatever society tells you to do, the white picket fence, my parents were more like, oh, you want to be this random thing? Go do it. Mm-hmm. And I think that nowadays it's really important as a parent, and I hope that I'm like this, to encourage your children to tap into their strength and really whatever that is, do it. You don't have to be a doctor because your parents want you to. You don't have to be a lawyer because you should be. I think now we're really in a day and age where we can design whatever our future looks like. You're in charge. And I hope that I can empower my child to do that, because sometimes you see parents saying like, you're not checking this box. You're not checking this box. You know, like mm-hmm. My parents never did that to me. There was never any pressure. And so that's maybe another theme.
Was there someone that you looked up to when you're younger? Did you have a specific role model? Was someone influencing you to kind of like lay the ground to become this person?
I always have been a really big reader, huge reader. So I'm very interested in other people. I think, and my grandma definitely taught me that. Like I always get interested whenever I would call her and I'd say, I'm depressed. She'd be like, go get interested in something other than yourself.
Wow.
You're boring. And so I'm big on biographies, autobiographies. I mean, for a living, what you and I do is we get to pick people's brain. Mm-hmm. So I really try, I try to listen. I think listening's a practice, by the way. It's a practice, right?
Yeah. Like, I had to learn how to listen.
Yeah.
Over the past couple of years, because I wasn't good at listening.
But that's okay. I mean, is anyone really good at it?
Some people are. And then I was like, do I have ADD?
But are they actively listening? You know what I mean?
Yes. Can you talk about the difference between listening and active listening?
Yeah, I think active listening is when you're actually absorbing and not thinking about what you're going to say next. And you learn that as a podcaster. That's mm-hmm. I think podcasting's taught me that.
Yeah, me too.
And when to shut up. Like even when I'm fighting with my husband now, sometimes I'll just shut the fuck up.
I need that that would really work for my husband.
Why?
When he gets mad, first of all, I never get mad at him for anything. I feel like he gets mad at me for everything. And I feel like he needs to just talk everything out.
Oh my God, you sound like my relationship.
And sometimes I would be in the, habit of defending myself and not really listening to him. So in order to make him feel heard, I want to let him get everything out. And then try to repeat something back like, oh, I hear what you're saying, blah, blah, blah. Just like I had to learn little tactics to properly communicate with him.
That's so smart, though, is that mm-hmm. you learn the tactics to communicate. I think sometimes people maybe they would yell back at him instead. But that's so smart that you learn tactics.
Yeah. Well, we were best friends for 3 years before we even hooked up. And, you know, and then when we started dating, it's all such different, like, it's all such a different experience being friends, dating, and then actually being married. Like, have you noticed that difference for yourself as well, just in terms of how you guys communicate together, your and just like what your relationship is
we
like?
We were best friends for 3 years. That's crazy.
Did you guys know each other before?
We knew each other. We knew each other. I've known him since I was 12.
Wow.
But that's crazy that you were best friends and then you started hooking up and then now you're married.
Yeah.
Because it's like three
It's a crazy story.
It's like three different relationships.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, we've known each other since we were 12. We just have not dated that long.
Did you like him then?
No, I there was this cartoon the other day that I was watching that's like from 1960 or something, and there's a dog, and the dog is like just walking. It's like this cute poodle. She's just walking, minding her own business.
And I love how you have the essence.
Yeah,
of the
poodle. You know what I mean. The, like prancing, very like aloof. And then there's like this annoying, like goofy dog. I think it's like actually Pluto. That's the dog. Pluto's like following her, and she's just ignores everything he does. And he's trying so hard to get her attention. I need to Instagram story this. And that has been our whole relationship. And I
One's the poodle?
I'm the poodle. Oh, okay. When we were young, I was always like the poodle, just like doing my own thing. And he was always like trying to get my attention. Aww. And I just like the poodle just cuts him off, or like her head's in a book, or you know, like Ichabod Crane, like just like unaffected. I think that's a big part of how our relationship started. And I think when I look back on that, I really try to apply that energy to everything I do. Like in business, I think when you, and this is like going off on a tangent, but when you lead with a desperate energy, people feel it.
Yes.
And I think that's something that's not talked about enough.
Yes. Can you talk more about that?
I just think that desperate energy is a turnoff in business, in friendship, in relationships. And I think like for my relationship with my husband, that a non-desperate energy for like a, just kind of aloofness. That's the word. I call it meh. Like meh.
Like you don't need it, but yeah, works, cool.
I think that that's kind of how like it works for us. Like now I still sometimes like don't pick up his call on the 10th ring, you know? I still
really?
Like, oh yeah. I like to turn the knife.
I need to do some of these games.
Just turn the knife sometimes.
Just been busy.
Yeah, you said your husband likes to talk it out.
Yeah.
Tell him to call a friend. You're busy.
Ooh, I like that. I need more tips, more husband tips.
I mean, you know, I just try like never to like, I like to keep him on his toes.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
I don't do that shit anymore. I think I'm too annoying.
How long have you guys been married?
For a year. We just got married, essentially.
Okay.
How long have you guys been married?
3 years.
Okay. So I feel like when we were dating, we would hook up all the fucking time. And then it's almost like the day we got engaged, our sex life just got smaller. And I know it bothers him, but it's also like, so we're both comics. We're up late at night. We go to sleep at like 2 a.m. Like, I don't want to fuck at 2 a.m.
I don't blame you. That's late.
I'm exhausted. And I think that we have different schedules when it comes to like wanting to have sex.
I'm going to give you the advice that my stepmom gave me.
Your stepmom?
It's brutal. This is brutal.
His mother?
No. My dad's wife.
Okay.
You rally.
Wait, what is that?
If
like,
you want
I just
to
do
fuck
it.
At 2 a.m., you just
have to do these things,
over.
Right?
But yeah, you just bend over. It's your husband. For me, like, if my husband wants to have sex and I'm so tired and I'm so fat right now from 7 months pregnant, I'll just do it.
Damn.
And that's, no one wants to hear that advice. Like they want to hear that. Oh, like I understand. Like it's late. Yeah. You're tired. Like my plantar fasciitis is acting up. My vagina's dried out like a desert. But honestly, like you just rally. Mm-hmm. That's my advice. I would give that to every married couple.
Yeah. Now I feel like an asshole.
Well, it's. I mean,
but you have to be told that
it's your husband. And if I feel like a need. Whatever need that is, whether it's the need to listen, because it sounds like he needs to be listened to, or the need to have sex. Like, I'd rather just bend over and fulfill it at 2 a.m.
Yeah.
Close your eyes and, like, post an Instagram.
It's not like I haven't done that before.
Yeah.
All before him.
Yeah. Exactly. Like,
I know.
Just close your eyes and, like, meditate.
Yeah. No, that's true. Okay. I'm going to start bending over a lot more.
That's not the advice anyone wants to hear. You rally. That's what you told me. I'll never forget that.
That is good.
Like 10 years ago. And I'm just, whenever he wants it, I'm just like, okay.
How did that come up with
her? I asked him, I'm like, I'm so tired. I've been bartending for 12 hours and I went to school all day and I just did a blog post and I taught Pilates. And she's like, okay, well, what about the mom that has three kids that just worked a full time? Like, you just rally, bend over.
Yeah. Was that pertaining to sex or just in general with being busy?
With my husband. It was pertaining to sex with my husband. Okay. I'm not saying, by the way, like, you rally to everyone in any
way. No,
I'm
of course not. Being it's married. A situation. Yeah, yeah, yes, yeah.
I'm talking about being married.
Yeah. So you guys work together.
We work right? together, but not full time, like just part time on the podcast.
So my husband and I, we both work together. We're comics. We, you know, go and do weekends together. And it could be hard to turn off that industry talk and work talk. And we try to set a limit to like 8 p.m. We're not going to talk about it anymore, but it could be so hard to follow. And I feel like, and then sometimes your relationship becomes like almost a work relationship. And then you need to like really implement more romantic time and stuff. How do you juggle like mixing both of those together? And what is some of the stuff that you do to keep things separate and fun?
It's hard.
It is hard,
it's
right? Hard.
Yeah. Anyone that tells you it's not hard, I'd love them to write a book. It's hard.
Yeah.
I started writing down like in my iPhone when my cortisol was being spiked by him. So I'll give you an example. If it's 11:30 at night and I am in bed after a day of working all day since 6 a.m. and you start asking me about my finances or some shit or like, you know, something that has to do with like podcast numbers, that is raising my cortisol.
Yeah.
So I started writing. So I'm like, okay, I don't want to talk about business after 9 o'clock at night. Like mm-hmm. it's over.
Yeah. Someone gave me that advice before too. Don't talk about anything serious after 9 at night.
Yeah. It's like, I don't want to talk about it after 9 at night. And then by the way, and then they want sex, like you said, at 2 a.m. after they've talked your ear off about business. It's like, listen,
right?
I'm going to rally
like,
for
horny
the sex.
Now.
Yeah, you've turned me off.
Yeah.
And then in the morning, my morning routine is like so specific that today he came in and asked me about something on Venmo. And I do like a crazy tilt, like a crazy head tilt. And I'm like, I don't talk about that in the morning.
In that voice.
Yeah. I don't talk about that. Like, if you don't get out of my face, I'm going to fucking stab you. You know what I mean? Like, you do like, yeah. you just set a boundary. Like, I'm not talking about that. Mm-hmm. And so he tried again. He tried to come in like another angle and be like, oh, it's stressful, panicked energy. And I said, I'll talk to you at 11.
Yeah.
Or whatever your time is. Like, for mm-hmm. me, I need to like work out and, you know, drink water and like eat something and take a walk and drink coffee before.
Yeah, I want to get into your morning routine too.
Yeah, I can't just pop out of bed and start talking about numbers.
Right.
He's different than me. That's him. So I just tell him I need my morning routine and I need my nighttime wind down. And then I'm like loving using pregnancy as like
an excuse.
Yeah. Even though I don't like it's still the same. I'm like, ooh, stomach's hurting. Could you leave me alone? Like find a little excuse.
And what about, did you find yourself having to interject more like, oh, we need to do more romantic stuff for our relationship? Because when you guys have like a day of working together, you're talking a lot about work stuff. Do you feel like you have to like, you know, like do more like, oh, I need to like cook for you tonight because we're getting too into.
Yeah. You listen to your intuition. Like, mm-hmm. you know, it's something that it's hard to give blanket advice on because it's situational. Like if you feel like you're talking business too much, like what you just said, maybe you cook for him. Like I'll wake up early and like my husband loves to be itched, like his back. And
yes,
like,
my husband
back.
Too. But I don't want to ruin my nails. Do I need a rally?
My wedding vow, swear on my life, was I vow that I'll ruin my manicure to itch your back. So that
is
vow.
So sweet.
And so, but like today I'm looking at my manicure like regretting that I said that. but I just do like little things here and there. And then this is going to sound weird, but I think one of the things that keeps our romance alive is the fact that we talk business. I think, and you probably, if you looked at your relationship too, like that is actually one of the things that you initially were attracted to. So many times I see women start to date the party guy and they're so obsessed with him and they're like, oh my God, he's so hot. He's life of the party. He's charismatic. He's fun. He's funny. And then a year in the relationship, I'll be talking to them and they'll say, he's just always has to party. He's the life
Ugh,
of the party.
No.
He's like, he's trying to make everyone laugh. And it's like, that's why you fell in love with him. So yeah. I think you have to, if you're like hating on a quality of your husband or your significant other, you need to really like kind of go back to the reasons that you fell in love with him. Mm-hmm. And for me, one of the reasons I fell in love with my husband is because he's so mentally stimulating and he loves business and we have so much to talk about.
Yeah.
And if you remove that from our relationship, there's a gap missing. So, I mean, yeah. Maybe you look at the business stuff sometimes as a romantic thing. Like,
I like that because, you know, I'm reflecting on, you know, my situation and while you were saying that and while listening at the same time.
I'm into it. You were optimizing.
But oh yeah, I was optimizing. And how, you know, I remember in the beginning saying that I was so attracted to how hardworking he was. And so I'm like, oh, okay. So then maybe I do find that sexy. So then maybe when he is, you know, busy at work, when he takes a break, I'll just start sucking his dick.
Just start sucking his dick and ask him about business. Tell him that you would like to multitask, that you would like to suck his dick while he talks to you and you will actively listen. That's like, that's strategic. I should share that tip on my Instagram story.
That's a good one.
Yeah, you introduced me as a motivational speaker, but I don't think that's the word.
No, I'm getting motivated. Okay. He's going to be so happy after I tell him all this. That's so funny. What do you do to spice up your relationship?
I mean, we love coconut oil lube, which I have some really? For you. I'm going to send
Ooh,
to you.
Okay.
It's called Woo, and we use coconut oil lube. You can eat it, lick it, suck it, fuck it. It's the most amazing lube. It's not, people are like, well, I don't need lube. It's not about that. It just makes, like, you can do a massage with it, and then other things can happen without it being
yeah, that's hot.
Gross. Like, I don't want Astroglide on one spot and then massage oil on another. Like, with
yes,
the, I like
yes.
the whole, like, it's seamless.
Yes.
And then like porn, toys. I mean, you have to, I feel like you have to spice it up as you get it more in your relationship. You'll like, you've been married for a year.
Yeah.
I've been married for three, which isn't like super long, but you still have to work to spice it up.
Totally.
You know?
Yeah. So I feel that.
Yeah, you got to spice it
up. Not like in a crazy way. Just like in general, like I feel like there's always like little things I need to do.
Yeah.
Like just surprising him like when he comes home and if,
it's so much work.
Just surprising him and just having like candles everywhere and then I'm in like sludgy laundry on the floor. Yeah. And he's like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Just like little things like that.
I'm going to dress up as a roly-poly tonight. Sex when you're pregnant.
Yeah. How is it when you're pregnant?
It's interesting. I mean, you don't want to go on top.
Okay.
Because then you're bouncing like a beach ball.
Yeah. I couldn't even imagine.
Yeah. And then
I haven't even thought about that yet.
Missionary is boring anyways.
Yeah.
But then like you don't, Michael asked me if his penis is going to touch the head of the baby. So that's the conversation that we've been having apparently.
I know. I hear people say stuff like that.
Yeah.
It doesn't, right? Because it's in a different area.
I mean, right? Unless you're like LeBron James, I don't think the fucking penis is touching the baby's
Yeah.
head, you know?
Did you, how long were you trying to get pregnant for?
We weren't trying, but we weren't not trying. Mm-hmm. We just had a lot of margaritas at El Coyote one night, and here we are. It was like a happy surprise.
You can pinpoint the night that
oh,
it
yeah.
happened.
Oh, they really? Tell you. They tell you.
Wow, that's so interesting.
So when you go to your checkup, they say, this is the date that you got pregnant. It's wild.
Oh my God. Yeah, we want to try next year. So now I'm trying to learn about all that stuff.
I mean, all like, I would tell you is get on up a good prenatal.
Yeah, I want to start doing that.
I like ritual. I talk about it all the time. It's like, it's just, it's worked really well for me. And I mean, just,
how long do you take a prenatal for before? A couple months?
I would start, you could start now because it makes your nails and hair thicker.
Yeah.
I mean, I just told my 66-year-old friend to take a prenatal because her hair's breaking.
Yeah,
it's a
my
good
hair
prenatal.
Breaks.
And then I would just say, like, it sounds like you don't drink, so you don't need to worry about that.
And what just, about diet? Like eating certain foods?
I mean,
is that a thing?
Maca is a huge thing.
Oh.
Maca. They say the really? Husband and wife should have maca.
Oh,
powder.
I haven't heard that.
Yeah, I would do that. But honestly, I just think that you should put no pressure on yourself because I think when people put too much pressure, it actually works against them.
Yeah, the stress.
Yeah, cortisol. Again.
You were talking about you can tell when your cortisol is going up. And I mean, like I guess you can kind of just feel, is there a certain way that you're figuring that out?
Okay, so you know how you feel when your alarm goes off in the morning and it's too early for you to wake up?
Yeah, and you're like, no.
And you're like, everything spikes. That's when your cortisol's up. Or do you know when you're about to hit a car and you're like this close to hitting a car?
Yeah.
And you get that rush? That's cortisol.
Oh, so it's so that like
It's the spike of like, yes. like almost like a nervous energy. And I have this theory about cortisol that it's just really bad for you. Mm-hmm. And so wherever, like when you're, I'll put it this way. When you're around a person that's toxic and you want, like you have that feeling like you want to get away from them. And yes. it's like not a good feeling. Your cortisol spiked.
We were just talking about that beforehand, how there's this girl who gives me like a bad feeling, and I don't know what it is about her, but for some reason, whenever she texts me or I'm around her, I get like a bad feeling.
That's spiking your cortisol. Tell her she needs to leave.
Right?
It's spiking your cortisol.
I know.
You should have her in your phone. Spiking cortisol. Yeah, she's got to stop spiking your cortisol.
Oh my God. So how do you lower it?
Okay, so this is crazy, but I have this theory where I go to low cortisol workouts. So like a cycle class is high cortisol. Because think about it.
Yeah.
It's club music. It's loud. It's people. It's a lot of people. It's sweating. So I try to go towards low cortisol. Running is high cortisol. You're pounding the pavement over and over and over and over and over. It's sagging your skin over time.
I hear that.
It sags your knees. It sags your vagina, your tits. It's sagging. Think about your pounding.
People, oh my God.
Runners are going to, don't hate me. This is my theory.
No, I've heard that it sags your skin and that walking and swimming keeps it tight.
Yeah, this is why, okay, so I'm really big on skin. And
me
so
too. I'm obsessed.
I can tell. Your skin looks amazing.
Thank you.
Like really good.
Thank you. Yours too.
Thanks.
Like it looks incredible. Right it's now. Radiant. Oh my God. It's glowing.
But I think running sags the skin. And so I walk, and walking's low cortisol and running's high cortisol.
So my thing is, I feel like if I'm not sweating, I'm not working out. So how long do you have to walk for before you start sweating? Because
you can walk at, you know, 3.0 on the treadmill.
On the what?
I say it wrong. Everyone makes fun of me. How do you say it? I literally
treadmill.
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 Why do I say it like that? I feel like I don't know why I say it like that.
It's funny.
3.0 on the treadmill with a little elevation.
Yeah.
But honestly, when you're on a conference call, just walk. Go walk. Mm-hmm. You know, in LA, you can walk to get coffee.
Mm-hmm. I know. I'm from New York, and I can really feel the difference of how I just don't walk as much when I'm here. In New York, obviously, I would walk all over the city every day, like 10,000 steps at least a day, 20,000 steps. But here, it's like I'm literally just driving everywhere. And then I get in the habit of feeling lazy. Like, I'll literally drive to a Coffee Bean that's like 2 blocks away sometimes because I live on a hill, and I don't want to walk up the hill. But then I'm like, I need to be walking, and then I'll look at my phone at the steps and I'll feel like, you know, then I'm not getting my steps in.
Totally feel the same way. When I like started realizing I'm driving, like you said, to get coffee and it's 5 seconds away, like I need to walk.
Yeah. What is that about LA that makes you lazy? Or is it
it's
just the habit of getting in your car and, yeah.
Well, I think like in New York, you're addicted to the movement, and that like goes back to the energy thing. Like,
yes.
You're addicted to the energy.
I respond to that.
Yeah. And here, no one's doing that. So there's no momentum.
So how long do you walk for?
I walk all the time. I'll walk during conference calls. I have a treadmill at my office.
Okay.
So I walk and return emails. I post Instagrams. I post stories. I return text messages. Like, mm-hmm. I just batch all this stuff at once while I'm walking. And I think it makes you feel better. I think it's good for you. You get your steps in, like you said. And then I do a lot of Pilates right now.
Mm-hmm. I love Pilates. I just started doing it.
It's the best.
Yeah. But it's like the next day I'll be like, oh, I didn't even know that part of my body could get sore.
Yeah.
Like the tops of my ankles were so sore for a couple of days. And I was like, how did that even happen?
Pilates.
I thought something was wrong with me. And I was like, no, it was from doing like the plie move.
Yeah. Pilates are amazing. And I bet you don't sweat that much in Pilates, right?
I don't sweat that much. So I feel like, am I still getting a good workout? But then sometimes I'll get sore, but I'm still doing like the level 1.2 classes. At Club Pilates. I don't know.
You look like you're doing like a lot.
No, I'm so bloated right now, and I've gained a lot of weight lately. I'm getting off spiral octane. Do you know that?
Uh-huh.
Have you ever taken that?
It's the thing in birth control that makes you have good skin, right?
No. Well, I don't know that it's in birth control, but it's a pill on its own. It's normally a low blood pressure medication, but people use it for hormonal acne. So when I was prepping for my wedding, I would get like one or two big pimples like around my jawline, around like this area, lower half of the face. So I took it for a year, but it's not good to take if you're trying to get pregnant. So I'm trying to clean out my system. So I'm getting off it.
Because it's in birth control. That's probably why.
Is it?
Yeah. It's
I never knew that. That's it's so interesting.
Main ingredient.
Because I don't take birth control anymore either.
Yeah. That's another tip. Sorry. I forgot to say that. Get off birth control as soon as
you can. Yeah. I was taking it since I was 15.
Yeah. I feel you. Like the Planned Parenthood, the pink container.
Yes.
It's so nostalgic. Every girl.
Yes.
Yeah. We're on it for so long.
It was like
long.
The Polly Pocket.
Yes. It was like actually cute.
Yeah, it was.
I liked having it in my makeup bag. I'm not going to lie. But staying on birth control, like I would get off.
Of course.
But by the way, I just want to say this. I have no expertise when it comes to fertility or anything like that. I have not researched enough for any of it. I just like, this is my experience. It's been like just my own journey and I don't want to like give blanket advice.
You were talking about time batching.
Obsessed.
Okay. I feel like some people don't even know what that is, including me. I just learned it recently.
So it'd be like time batching is say you record a podcast every week, which you do. You would record 4 in one day.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all your brain has to think about is focus on the podcast. And what it does is it makes your brain not have to jump all over the place. So again, it's optimizing. Like, and I'll give this is probably the best example. I noticed throughout the week that I was taking calls all throughout the week. 1 on Monday, 2 on Tuesday, 5 on Wednesday, 6 on Thursday. And what it was doing was it was interrupting my creative flow.
Yes.
And you know what I'm talking about because you do comedy.
Yeah.
And when you're in that zone and that flow and that energy, it's to be interrupted is horrible.
Totally.
And so I'd be writing for an hour and then I'd have a conference call and it would interrupt the time when I could have just written for 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did is I said, okay, I'm going to take all my conference calls on Wednesday. So when I wake up on Wednesday, I know I'm going to be on the phone. I know I'm going to be talking. My brain's in that mindset. My personality's on, you know, at whatever time. And I'm not writing and I'm not creating content or editing photos or doing podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
That's on another day. So I just try to time batch everything and even like down to text messages, you know?
Yeah, because that's something like that will really distract me. You know, everyone gets text messages all day long, people having full on conversations that you feel like you have to continue engaging in. And sometimes I'll just be like, I don't want to keep talking to this person. Why am I in this whole thing with this person? But I don't want to. But then that's my fault for not creating the boundary, you know, and saying, or just stop texting. And then I'll feel like I have to get, you know, when you feel like you have to get back to all these people. So I get caught up in that sort of thing. So sometimes I'm like, I'm trying to get better about it, but it's like, I don't need to answer this call right now. I don't need to answer this text message. I could talk to them later. It's not that important. How did you get better at that? Was that like a journey for you?
It's so hard.
It's so hard, right?
But what you have to understand is when you are feeling that you need to respond to everyone, you're being reactive, not proactive. And there's a big difference.
How did you learn all this?
This is just once you start to like know this and you're like, oh my God, I'm being reactive. I do not check my cell phone in the morning. I am not going to wake up and do everyone's to-do list before I have even done my own.
I love that.
And that raises my cortisol too. To wake up and look at all these text messages of what people need from me or questions or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Or family, whatever. I can't, my brain can't function. I've just like tapped into that doesn't work for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to be proactive and how I can be proactive and how I can be present and how I can be a good daughter, friend, you know, wife, whatever, is to time batch. And so what I do is with text messages, I will spend 1 hour completely focused on only text messages. I know that sounds crazy and people are like, oh my God, that's type A. But honestly, it also creates a boundary.
I love all of this.
It's like,
I need these
tips. You're podcasting right now. You can't respond right now.
Right.
So I would just say that whenever you're reacting to someone else's text message, email, DM, think, am I being reactive or proactive right now? And to be proactive would be that you have done it at a time that works for you. And for me, that's time batching. Maybe for someone else, that's spending 5 minutes in the morning and 10 minutes at night. you know, do like tap into yourself. Maybe it's just one day a week, Saturdays. Saturdays, you sit down for 2 hours and you return all your emails and your text messages. For me, I like to do a half an hour of emails in the morning, a half an hour at night. That's it. I'm not going to be living in my email inbox.
And do you get tempted to go into your inbox, into your text messaging? Like, how do you stop yourself? Is it just something you learn over time?
Not anymore.
Or is it like once you decide...
I used to. It's actually like
a habit that you have to.
An addiction.
Create. Yes.
It's a weird addiction.
I feel that.
Yeah. You have to be like, if I'm checking my email every, you know, hour or 10 minutes,
it's mental illness.
No, it's draining. It's draining my creative, productive energy that can be spent on something that's going to move the needle. I'm like, if I commit, say I want to say, I'm going to write a book. And I'm checking my email every hour. That's taking 5 minutes away. Like, that's just waste of energy. So I really try to tap in on what is this productive to my energy levels or is it draining? And I do this in every area of my life. I do this with my friends. I do this with other content creators. If something is draining my energy and it's not productive, I really try to not let it get in my space. And checking my email all the time is not productive. It's just not. Because the problem is even when you clear your fucking inbox, then there's something else. It's never going to end.
Yeah.
You have to just not, like, that's where I'm not type A at all.
What about with draining friendships? Like, you know, that girl who will never stop telling you their problems and you're like, how do I stop dealing with this?
I'm like, and then you brutal. Like,
right?
I don't, I, if someone's like.
We need these tips.
If someone's draining your energy, it's not a fit.
Yeah.
It's not a fit.
I know. I used to have so many girlfriends that I would find to be so draining. And over the past couple of years, I've really tried to work on, like, you know, creating boundaries for myself and just getting rid of some of those friendships that weren't working for me. But I really had to, you know, I'm always like constantly having to like learn all of this stuff. And like, it takes me a while sometimes to get, you know, to get going because I'll like feel bad or something, you know. It's all Al-Anon stuff. Guilt. I don't know if you know what that is.
I totally know what Al-Anon is. You feel guilt.
Yeah.
No, guilt is, trust me.
And then I'm like, why do I don't have the time to feel bad for, it's because I want to be busy doing my stuff. I don't want you coming into my day.
I completely agree with you.
Yeah.
Guilt is something that women feel.
Yes.
I think that every single friendship should be evaluated.
I do feel like girls are more like that than
men.
Because my husband isn't like that as much as me.
My husband won't text someone back for weeks.
Wow.
And I'm like,
I want to be like that.
He just creates a boundary. This is, you know, I think that you should constantly be, I feel like in Al-Anon, in AA, they tell you, like, you have to constantly be taking inventory of, like, every area. Mm-hmm. And if it's not giving, like I said, if it's not giving you energy, I mean.
I love that. If it's not giving you energy.
I say cut it. Because here's the thing. I think that you have to be so selfish to become selfless. Mm-hmm. I see so many people being selfless and then they're resentful.
Yes.
And if
you, my mom.
Hi, Mom.
Hi, Mom.
I think that, like, if you're really, really selfish, you have, like, a good foundation. Like, and when I say selfish, I mean I'm really big on self-care.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really big on working out every day. I'm really big on having my morning routine. When I have those tools and tactics, I'm the best version of myself in a relationship, in a podcast interview, as a wife. When I don't have the thing, like the things, I'm you could say that I'm selfless, but then I end up getting resentful.
Yeah.
So what, like, you know?
That's interesting about what gives me energy as opposed to taking it away. I've never heard that before.
So I always say that every single day I have a thermometer of energy, and I apologize if you've heard this because I say this.
No,
all the time.
I actually haven't heard this.
I have a thermometer of energy. And I'm choosing where I'm putting the thermometer of energy. And if it's gonna drain it too quick, I don't put any energy towards there.
How do you kind of like take that temperature?
I just really with anything, like I'll give you an example. I'm not a networker. I'm a blogger, but I don't want to go and to the events. It's just not my thing.
It's a waste of time.
Sometimes it's just it's for me, like, I would rather be writing a book or interviewing someone like this, like having a one-on-one. It's just not my thing to go out and network. It's just never been. It feels cheesy to me.
Yeah.
And by the way, to each its own, because there are some major, amazing networkers out there that are so good at it, and I have mad respect. That gives them energy.
Yeah.
But for me, it drains my energy. So I just don't network. And my manager gets mad at me all the time. She's like, you have to go network. And I said to her the other day, I said, I network in my own way. I network through my podcast. I network through going on other people's podcasts. Mm-hmm. That's what I like to do. So you kind of have to like figure out what works for you. And I would just say to think of that thermometer every day when you wake up and just evaluate what's draining it and what's making it go up. And you want it to go up. You don't want to drain it.
Yeah. That's so interesting.
Kind of like a cell phone battery.
Yes.
You know, sometimes you just need a day where you just need to charge your batteries.
Yes, absolutely. So what is your morning routine? And then you also mentioned a winding down routine.
My morning routine is really important because I think that your morning is like the foundation of the day. It's so important. So I like to do this thing called light movement hydration where I open the shades when I wake up and then I move. So I'll make the bed and then I'll go walk to get coffee. And I, like I said, I don't look at my phone, but what I do is I put on a podcast. And it sounds like you do the same thing.
Yeah.
Like something for me in the morning, I don't. Okay. So here's another way that this is like getting so micro, but a gossip podcast in the morning is going to drain my energy. It's not giving me energy. At night when I'm winding down, maybe that's like what I want to hear. But when I wake up in the morning, I want someone to kick my ass. So like an Ed Milet is like amazing in the morning. So I'll put him on and walk to get coffee. And then I'll drink tons of water and I'll go do a workout. And like those things just get me in the right space. I heard Tim Ferriss say, and this is so true, that how he deals with depression and anxiety is he prevents it before it happens.
Hmm.
And so like I mean, I'm an anxious person. So I have to do things to prevent the anxiousness from coming full circle. And that's really how I've dealt with anxiety. It's just like always being preventative. And so those things in the morning, it sounds stupid, but it helps.
Yeah, I call that like my spiritual workout. You know, like doing like morning pages, a gratitude list. I put all that stuff kind of under that category for myself. Like if I don't drink hot water with lemon, meditate on my balcony with like the headphones in the sun, like little things like that. I really notice it makes my day so much better. I feel so much more calmer. But again, like I could be bad with habits. Like it takes me a while to get used to them. But I'm aware of the things that I want to do. And it's just kind of like, you know, making that like a daily thing without question.
The less overwhelming, the better. So like if you have your morning pages like thing by your gratitude list, by your headphones, like in one spot.
Oh, that's such a good tip.
Just to
grab. So you just put everything there in one spot. So you're like, oh, that's where that is. That's where that is. Makes it very easy. You don't have to. It's like these little things that seem like not a big deal that do make the difference.
Yes. And Tim Ferriss says also too, I love him so much. He says that the most successful people in the world, and he's obviously interviewed many, have the same types of routines. So they don't have to think about things. And this is so interesting because it's like taking our conversation 360. They don't think about things that are going to drain their energy. So they have the same breakfast every morning. They have the same coffee order. A lot of them wear the same outfits.
Yeah, I've heard that.
You know, like they're not switching up their makeup. It's very streamlined and it's the same thing every single day. So what that does is it gives them more energy to make bigger decisions that are more important. And it is like the energy thermometer. It's like what energy? So when you wake up, if you just have your stuff all lined up and you even have time. So like even in my calendar, it'll say, and this is so psycho, but it says like, wake up and make the bed, meditate, you know, walk to get coffee. Like it says this in my calendar.
So your calendar then is filled with like 50 things in a day?
Yes.
Does that give you anxiety or do you like it and it makes you feel like you get off on having the plan for the day and being organized?
I love it because on Saturday and Sunday, there's nothing.
Oh, that's good.
I know that like I'm just going to do my 5 days this week and then Saturday and Sunday, I don't have anything planned.
I love
that. So it's like a balance. But everyone's different. You don't have to have 50 things.
Right.
By the way, I have space in my calendar that says read. right. Mm-hmm. It, like, you can put things in your, when you say I have 50 things, it's not like I'm coming to do this podcast and then rushing to do another podcast and then going and, you know, doing a photo shoot. It's more like I'm doing this podcast and then for 2 hours I have a block to write. Mm-hmm. So that's like, it's not stressful. I just blocked off the writing.
Yeah.
So it's open space, but it's blocked off, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
I know
in terms
that
of like
weird.
Following a schedule for a day.
Yeah, there's a lot of things on the calendar, but a lot of the things are things that fuel me.
Yes.
Or I'm creative.
No, yeah.
So for like, I assume you have to write comedy, right?
Yeah.
So that's something that probably gives you energy.
Yeah, I like to like block that off in the morning because I know I write the best in the morning and I work out the best in the late afternoon. So I try to.
You sound pretty in tune with what you're doing.
I am very in tune
to
all this.
You sound pretty optimized.
I am. And I have learned all this stuff and I am acting like I'm not as on it as I am because I am very, very on it. And I do love all of this kind of stuff and I love learning about all this kind of stuff. But every day is just not like I feel like it's hard for me to be like it every day, and that's where like the perfectionism comes in.
It's hard for every. I mean,
yeah.
You can't even give that's expectation. Like you're not going to be perfect every day. There's going to be days that you have off. It's not going to happen. So you try for the best. James Altucher says when he lays his head on the pillow, he tries to be 1% better every day. You're like, my thing is if you're like, oh my God, I need to wake up tomorrow and do the morning pages and then do the gratitude list and then meditate and then walk to get coffee and then drink a gallon of water. Like that's
that'd be
so
crazy.
Overwhelming.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would just say wake up tomorrow, try to meditate for 10 minutes with the shades open to get light in your room. Like that's where I would start.
Simplifying.
1% better.
Yeah.
Putting all these expectations on yourself, like.
Totally.
Too much. And then for me, like, you know, on the weekends, on Saturday and Sunday, I don't meditate. I don't, I don't, you know, try to write my to-do list. I give myself a break.
Yeah. It's more just like what I would like to do. It's not like I'm like losing sleep over it. It's more just like, oh, I know I would feel better if every morning I had like the morning that feels good and calm and sets up my day.
Well, you're already ahead of the game because you don't drink alcohol.
Yeah.
I have to tell you, I told my friend, I'm like, everyone says they're tired when they're pregnant. I'm bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
Oh, really?
Because I don't have wine. Because I like would drink like 3 to 4 days a week.
Yeah.
And you know, you wake up like a little bit groggy. Even after one glass, I can feel it.
Most of the people who comment on my skin, I want to say it's because I don't drink, but...
Probably.
Yeah, I feel like I can see the difference of people's skin when they drink and don't drink, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that alcohol, like, you know, you don't even realize that that's a huge edge that you already have over people because alcohol slows you down.
Yeah, it's crazy, like, just being here at night and seeing, like, how everyone gets so shit-faced and... It's just like, you know, I used to be a very big party person and I would go out every single night to clubs in New York and that's like literally all I did for years. And now I just cannot imagine doing that life, especially over 30.
Why did you have an epiphany that you had to stop drinking?
Because I had a Coke problem and it just got too much. And I had, you know, dreams and a life that I want to live for myself. And I just basically hit that bottom of feeling like I can't do this anymore. There's so much I want to do with my life. I've always been like a very inspired, you know, driven person, but partying got in the way of that in my 20s.
So you just decided one day you're like, I'm done with this.
Yeah. Well, you know, it had been going on for a while that I was feeling like I don't want to live like this anymore. I feel like that's like the kind of quote in people's heads when they're getting sober. I don't want to live like this anymore. And you have to have what I think really helps is like, you know, I want to do stand up. I want to be a writer. I wanted to, you know, create things and I just couldn't do it with the lifestyle that I was living. So I had to just stop.
This has been a theme. I've read a lot of comics books.
And oh, really?
I just read Idiot by Laura Clary.
I don't know her.
She's a blonde comic.
I don't know her.
And she, I'll show you a picture of her after. And she had the same type of thing. Like it seems like a lot, you guys like are so creative.
Yeah.
And I mean, and like, it's like this world seems like a lot of alcohol late nights.
It is.
It's easy to get sucked in.
Yeah. But I just, you know, I just do my work and leave. which I see the difference too. Like a lot of successful comics, they come, you know, they show up at the club, they do their spot and they leave.
My dad calls it, he said, Lauren, go in with your briefcase and leave with your briefcase.
Yeah.
That's probably what the really successful ones do.
Yeah. And then there's other people who are hanging on the patio outside drinking all night until 2 a.m. And I'm like, how can you live like this? I mean, I used to, but, you know, I'm not trying to judge, but I'm just, you know, I'm really grateful that I got over that and got through that. And now, you know, I'm just like trying to live an optimized life, essentially.
I mean, it sounds like you're doing a good job.
Yeah. I just like, you know, I always just want to become the best version of myself.
I mean, yeah, there's nothing better than that.
No, totally. Yeah.
I think it's so interesting because we're living in a day and age now where I think years ago people would want to look or be like a celebrity. So like if they were getting plastic surgery, they'd bring in like Angelina Jolie's face and they'd be like, I want her lips. Or they'd say, I want to be like, you know, Jennifer Aniston or whatever. And now we've gotten to this day and age where like people, what they want now is to be the best version of themselves. Looks, personality, spirituality, whatever that is, it's shifted.
Yeah.
It's so interesting. People just like, and I don't know if it has to do with Instagram that we're constantly looking at ourselves on social media, but people are optimizing and just trying to be the best version, whatever that looks like, which I think is so awesome.
Yeah. And I really feel that though a lot more in California than I do when I go back home in New York.
Oh, like that's interesting.
Yeah. Like I feel like California is such almost like the wellness capital of the country.
Huh. So you feel that people are more in tune with that here and not as much in New York?
On steroids here.
That's interesting. I mean, I don't know New York super well, but you might be right.
Yeah.
It's different.
Yeah, I just feel like, I don't know, recovery is so much better here. I just feel like fitness and healthy eating, and I mean, it's gotten, you know, better. There's so many more like juice shops that open up in, you know, in New York and, you know, like stuff like that. But I just feel like here it's also a lifestyle.
Well, maybe it's just sometimes I think too, like for me, New York can feel draining on me.
Yeah. And I hear people say that who aren't from there.
Yes, but my husband goes there and gets energy. So it's again like
energy there.
Figure out like what you get energy from and what you don't.
Yeah, that's so interesting. I never really specifically like sat down and kind of reflected on that with certain things.
I think that everyone's like it's just different. You have to tune into whatever that is.
Mm-hmm.
The energy thing is real.
How do you not get distracted? So I guess that kind of goes into your social media, like it not getting distracted by social media because you're very much an online presence. What's like your optimization for your social media and how do you not get, you know, how are you not always like grabbing for your phone and checking your notifications or posting stuff?
I batch my DMs. So I do like, I'll do, you know, a half an hour in the morning and a half an hour at night. Cause again, you can answer as many questions as you can answer. And then you have to go do the work cause you want to create the content. So I try to definitely really make that a priority with talking to the people that have supported me. That's important. But obviously, I cannot get to every single thing I try. And then this is like my top tip. So they say that you're the top five people that you hang out with, which I would say is so true. I feel like you're the top five people whose content you consume.
So I like that.
I think it's really important to be very, very thoughtful and purposeful with whose content you're consuming. And now people are going to say, well, what do you mean? I watch blah, blah, blah's content for 10 seconds a day. 10 seconds a day over a year adds up.
Mm-hmm.
So here's what my tip would be. Pick five people in each category. So for me, I have someone in health. I have someone in motivation. I have someone in comedy. I have someone that's like a girlfriend that I like to watch. And then I have my husband. And those are my top five people. And I consume those five people every day. And that's it. And I learned that from Mark Manson, who wrote Everything is Fucked.
Yeah.
And The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck. Yeah. He just basically said, we're so inundated with content all day long. Should you be doing paleo, intermittent fasting, keto, you know, fasting for 3 days? Like, it's so much content. You have to just pick someone you trust and just let them be your guru and let that be one of your five people. If you're consuming like 80 Instagram stories a day and scrolling. It's again, draining. It's draining.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say pick five people mm-hmm. in each category.
And mute everyone else.
I mute.
I love muting.
And I don't mute to be mean.
No, it's for yourself and you don't have to tell anyone about it.
Yeah.
You know, but I love muting. And it's not, yeah, and it's not to be mean or vicious. It's just, you know, if I see someone's feed and I'm like, oh, why'd they get that? You know, with things like comedy.
That doesn't make you feel good.
No, it doesn't.
Sparking your
cortisol. And I like them and they're my friend and I feel bad for feeling that way. But I'm like, you know what? It'd be a lot easier for me if I just muted certain people. And then I find myself creating, you know, I'm creating instead of, I'm getting to work instead of caring about someone else's day.
Bingo.
Yeah.
That's bingo. Like the comparison game is such a fucking drain.
Yeah. Compare and despair. Do you get into that?
Of course I've been in the comparison mm-hmm. game. It's impossible not to be on Instagram. You know, you're comparing like, you know, someone's body to yours or mm-hmm. someone's lifestyle, whatever it is. But I will say it's something that I'm cognitive about and I practice to get better. So it's like listening. Like I practice. So I'll mute. I'll just consume certain people's content. I'll unfollow someone if it doesn't feel right. I'm very observant about how I am feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to be logical and not emotional about it.
Oh, that's interesting.
I'm always like trying to be logical. I think logic has served me a lot better than emotion. And so it's like cutthroat. It's black and white. If it's not making me feel good, I'm just going to unfollow. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to keep watching an Instagram story that doesn't make me feel good.
Yeah.
I mean, but trust me, you can get the scrolling game. I mean, we've all been there. So yeah. You end up on your aunt's cousin's sister's dog's friend's page. You're like, how
and
am
I'm
I
like,
here?
How did time pass? Why? How am I here half hour later?
It's wild.
On the girlfriend of
this
an ex.
Is bleak.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You're like, I mean,
why am I watching my ex's girlfriend?
Yeah. This is like on a, like,
and now
account.
I'm on her dog's page. Yeah, no, I'm just kidding.
This is not good. I think that like too on a, like have you ever it's a Sunday and you're laying around and you're just scrolling through social media and you look out and you're like, oh my God, I've been on social media for 3 hours or something.
Yeah.
And then whenever I do that, I'm like, how do I feel right now? And I always feel anxious. Mm-hmm. It's never accomplished. It's never productive. It doesn't feel good. So I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
So, and maybe some people are completely different and they're like, oh my God, I feel so good after looking through social media for 3 hours.
Yeah, see, I don't find it productive at all. And I've deleted it before for a couple of days and it makes me feel so good when I delete it. But then it's an issue because I have to promote myself. You know, I have to promote my podcast. I want to post updates like every couple of days. And I feel like I can't delete my Instagram for a long time, which sucks because I kind of wish I would just have someone run it for me. But then I feel like, you know, I want to have that connection with my audience. So then I kind of struggle with wondering, you know, and then I have to train myself to not be constantly on it.
You can train yourself by just consuming like a couple people.
Yeah.
And just deciding that you're not going to go consume every single person's content. And, you know, you don't need to see what every single one of your friends is doing. And I think it's liberating. It makes you feel better.
Yeah.
And you know what else I do? I never go to the page where you can scroll. So like on Instagram, I try to never go on this page.
On the feed.
Yeah, I'm just over here. I'm over here or I'm in my DMs.
I've tried to do that too. And when I take a break away, I'm really not interested in the feed.
Yeah, well, now we're to the point with Instagram where everyone's seen everything.
Yeah.
So it's going to move to TikTok, I think.
Oh, really? That's I don't even prediction. Do that. Because for me, that's like, it's just too much. It's like, I just can't do another.
I totally agree with you, but I think that you should try TikTok.
Really? I know. People say that it's fun.
I think that you should try it because I think you'd be really funny on it.
Yeah.
And it's like not so curated. It's not so much pressure.
Right.
And by the way, like I have to really get on it too. Like I'm on it, but like I need to like really become a practitioner of it. But I have heard that people's attention spans moving mm-hmm. off Instagram.
What do you do for your self-care?
So many things.
And how do you unwind after, you know, a busy day? Like how do you shut your brain off from work mode?
I do things that are passive multitasking. So I want to feel productive in the hour of self-care, if that makes sense. So I will return emails for an hour and get facial.
But do you feel like you're not giving yourself that full relaxation?
Now, what I would say to that is if it's a Saturday or Sunday or I feel like depleted, I just tap into that and I'm like, okay, I just need an hour without anything. Mm-hmm. So I would just say, like, you just have to know yourself. Everyone's different. Yeah. For me, I like going to get a facial uninterrupted with no one talking to me and just scroll through my email or, you know, edit photos or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. I like that space. It's creative for me.
Okay.
So, but I could see what you're saying, like, oh, well, you're not really like absorbing like the full hour to yourself. And then I would just say, okay, well, if I'm having one of those days, I just get off my phone.
Yeah.
But I do like to do things that are passive multitasking. And that I think has to do with the optimization thing. So facial, if I get my nails done, I listen to a podcast. I'm big on lymphatic drainage massages. I talk about that all the time.
Oh, I've heard about, I was texting with someone who does that, but then they sent me all these weird charts.
They did?
About it. I'll show it to you. Yeah, but I've heard that's really good. And I've heard that's good to do when you're pregnant too.
Yeah, it's really good. It makes your skin
look incredible.
Amazing. I have this girl that it's at Emmanuel Blanc that's okay. down the street from here.
Yeah.
Named Taryn. You will love her. Like, you will walk in feeling so bloated and you will walk out like sculpted like a Kardashian.
Oh my God. So they just...
It's a light facial manipulation, and we all have fluid in our face when we sleep, when we lay down, and it drains the fluid. So all this fluid, like this is all fluid that people don't realize, and to drain it, you need manipulation.
Hmm.
And you will run to the bathroom to pee.
Wow.
Because it all comes out. Yeah. It's amazing. You'd like it.
Yeah, no, I want to do it.
Yeah.
I've been listening or like learning about it recently.
Yeah, I think that the word is like such a gross word. Lymphatic. I don't know. It's like not sexy.
Yeah.
You know? It's not like you want to lean into it. But I'm big on lymphatic everything.
Do you feel like it's hard for you to unwind? Like if you go on vacation, is it hard for you to relax?
Yes and no. I think that it's hard for me to relax if I haven't done what I set. I'm a big fan of when we talked about confidence earlier, confidence is keeping the promises to yourself.
Mm.
And so I don't feel confident and I don't feel confident relaxing when I haven't kept the promises that I made to myself. So if I tell myself I'm going to do this and I follow through with it and then I go on vacation, I can totally relax. I shut it off. Like I'll turn off my phone. But I notice that like I'm out of integrity if I go somewhere and I haven't kept the promises I said I was going to do. So an example is like, let's say you said, I'm going to write a book. That's so overwhelming. So like break it down. Just do 15 minutes in the morning every single day at the same time. So say it's been 2 weeks and you've only done it once. You don't feel confident.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I can see when people ask, well, you know, how do I get confidence? You get it from yourself. It's the little tiny promises. And I'm sure even with AA, like AA gives you confidence because you've kept the promises that you make to yourself. Yeah. Like that's what AA is.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm right from what I heard from my sister, it's a big part of it.
I mean, I can see what you're talking about. They don't say that verbatim, but I totally can understand where that comes from. And that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it's keeping your integrity with what you said you were going
to
do.
Well, yeah, integrity, total big part of it. But I haven't heard it break down and related to confidence, but that makes 100% sense.
So I would just say, yes, I can relax if I'm in integrity with myself.
Yeah.
But if I have all this stuff that I said I was going to do when I go on vacation, I feel anxious. Mm-hmm. And that's just being honest.
So when it comes to creating goals, keeping goals, I like what you said, like if you wanted to write a book, how you can just say, okay, just 15 minutes a day every morning. Like what is a way to set up goals that you'll actually follow for yourself and execute?
That is such a good question. And I feel like that's like, it doesn't get asked enough. People are just like, oh, we'll write 15 minutes. Okay. You have to get so micro with it. So it should be on your calendar. So say it's 11 o'clock. Mm-hmm. On your calendar at 11 o'clock to 11:30 every single day. Now, again, I take Saturday and Sunday usually for space to create whatever I want. I don't do Saturday and Sunday, but whatever works for you. You could do 7 days a week. So 11 o'clock, and then you set an alarm in your phone for 11 o'clock. So at 11 o'clock, it reminds you it's time to get to work.
Mm-hmm.
And the alarm and the calendar system together it makes such a big difference. It's literally how I built my business. I would have an alarm and I would have a calendar invite. And then I also sometimes take it a step further and have someone to hold me accountable. Mm. So I'll say, you could say to someone like, I'm going to send you 5 pages of my book every single day. And maybe you say, I'm going to send it by 12. And so then you have an alarm on your phone by at 12 to get that to the person. So it's like covering all your bases. Writing a book or doing anything big, and you know this, is like it's reps repeated every single day over a long period of time. It's chipping away at a rock every day that mm-hmm. makes the big hole.
You mentioned 15 minutes. Do you think there's something about creating a shorter time frame for yourself?
It's not overwhelming. I think that...
Do you keep things like shorter, like with writing and stuff like that?
The most I'll do for writing now is probably an hour.
Yeah.
It's the most. And I honestly wouldn't recommend that. Like, I've been blogging, like I said, for 10 years. I would say to start, just do 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. It's just, you could write 2 pages in 15 minutes.
Totally. And you'll likely write even more than that and want to keep going.
It's 14
pages.
But if you
give yourself that small amount of time...
In a month, that's a chapter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with writing, like sitting down and working on like a pilot or something, or even writing jokes, a friend of mine gave me some really good advice a long time ago, who he's like a big TV writer. And he said, even if you sit down in front of a blank screen, if you just get yourself in the chair sitting down, it makes such a difference. It's like going to the gym with workout clothes. Like, you're eventually going to work out.
That's good advice.
Yeah.
It's again, though, it's keeping you keep the promises to yourself. Mm-hmm. Even if it's like, even if you don't want to write and you just stare at the blank page.
I mean, you're obviously eventually going to end up writing, but it's just the act of sitting there and putting yourself in that position.
Yes, yes. And it's also, I think, with the shorter time.
I think the resistance, too, yes. is what gets in the way.
There's so much resistance with creativity.
Yes.
Oh, I feel
Why
like
Why is that? Do you think
that.
That's fear?
Oh my God, I think creativity is resistance. It's so, I think it's fear. I think it's procrastination. Like, I don't know if you're like this, but when I to wrap my head around something and have more time to think till I absolutely have to do it gets me off a little bit, maybe in like a weird way.
I used to be a very big procrastinator, but now I get off on accomplishing.
That's really good.
I get a high from it.
I'm not there yet.
But I'm consistency is something that, you know, again, like that I could be better at. But yeah, like for a long time, I used to be very creative procrastinator. Like, I want to write this. I want to write this. But it would take me so long to do it. But I've since, you know, and then once you just sit down and just start doing it, you get over that hurdle. And then you're like in a different, completely different space, in a different zone where you can just sit down and get to work and you don't even think about it. And you're like, oh, I just do this.
That's really smart. Yeah. I feel like I need to get there. I'm the type that procrastinates till the last fucking second.
Yeah.
But sometimes I feel like the whatever I'm creating is better when I wait till the last second. But maybe that's in my brain.
Through like emotion and... Yeah. Anxiety or something that's like driving you.
I pushed it to the absolute fucking second. I've thought mm-hmm. about it for that much longer and now I have to do it and I have to execute. Mm-hmm. But I want to be more like you with that. I have to work on that.
Yeah. Once you sit down and just continuously doing it, you just don't even think about it anymore. And it becomes like brushing your teeth, which I guess is like any habit really.
I mean, that's what you want. You want it to become like brushing your teeth. You want it to become passive. Mm-hmm. The habits are what make up the big success. It's the daily habits that you have.
Mm-hmm. I think I heard someone say something like, you know how people say it takes, 28 days or 30 days to start a habit? It's not actually that. It's starting the habit. Do you know, have you heard something like that before? It's not really about 28 days to create the habit. It's 28 days to start the habit.
Oh, okay. I think I know.
I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure I've heard that saying and I thought that made a lot of sense.
No, that does make a lot of sense. Stephen Pressfield wrote, oh my God, it's The War of Art, not The Art of War, The War of Art.
I've had both.
You had both.
And the resistance one I did not get through, funny enough.
But like, it's one of those books that I didn't like read from cover to cover. I just would flip pages and highlight. Like, it's very like, see, this is the alarm.
Oh, okay.
No, you're fine. You're fine. But the alarm setting in my phone really helps. Like that alarm told me to get in the car and I waited 10 minutes.
And not having an annoying alarm is important.
Is that one annoying? I can't decide.
No, it's not. I thought it was a good alarm. Okay. But sometimes you have that alarm in your phone that's the same as the one that you wake up to.
Horrible.
And I think that creates anxiety. Like, so I've changed my alarms to not be the same one that I wake up to because I feel like it like insinuates maybe cortisol, I guess.
Or if just like we can give any tip, that's the tip of the podcast.
Right?
Do not have the same alarm as when you're waking up.
Yeah.
For your deadlines.
Yes.
Use the bedtime app.
Is that the one that's
it wakes you up so beautifully?
I've seen that before.
It's the one. It's on the alarm on your iPhone, and it wakes you up
same time every day to get you regulated with your sleeping.
It's the dawn, and it's like a dawn. It rises you slow instead of just waking you up. So it's like you go here, the bedtime app, and you just edit it, and then you can put in what time you went to bed, so you can see how many hours you get. Yeah. And then you put like when you want to wake up and then it just wakes you up so soothingly. Mm-hmm. And it's not an alarm, if that makes sense.
Like a slow progression.
Yes.
Like,
nothing like my husband's alarm is like so jarring.
Really?
And I'm like, that's horrible.
Whenever my alarm goes off, my husband's like, what? Huh? I'm like,
he sounds
panicked
like Michael.
How many hours of sleep a night do you get? And is sleep something that's super important to you?
Sleep is so important to me.
Yeah.
So important to me.
Because I can't function unless I get 8 hours of sleep.
I need at least 8 hours. I'd be a greedy bitch and say 8.5, 9 if I could.
The minute I am under 8, it's just a different day for me. It's so strange.
I think women need more sleep, one.
Yeah, I think so too.
100%. Mm-hmm. And I think to be in a creative space, sleep is so important. Mm-hmm. I'm a way better person when I sleep. That goes back to self-care though.
Yeah, I'm very crazy with sleep. Like I'm like, I have to get home and get my 8 hours and I have it all calculated.
How did you do 2 a.m.?
Well, then I'll wake up at 10.
But before when you were using, how did you go that late and then wake up?
Oh, I didn't go to sleep at 2. I went to sleep at like 5 p.m.
So then what would you do? What time would you wake up?
I would sleep. I didn't think about those. I would sleep for like 12 hours. I would like pop a Xanax.
Got it.
So I was not on a time schedule.
Because I always think whenever I ask my sister, I'm like, how did you stay up that late and then function in the day? And how do you, because she's so big on sleep.
Yeah, I was not functioning.
Your body's in a different space.
Like I wasn't showing up for my classes and stuff. I remember I showed up to a college class and I forgot how to read when I was called on, which terrified me because I love reading, but I was just doing so much coke that just like my brain wasn't working and that scared the shit out of me because reading and writing is like my life.
I mean, I'm sure like that's probably a scary period.
Yeah, that was like a turning point for me where I was like, this is not good.
Well, you checked it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's totally, honestly, yeah. Sobriety is so impressive to me.
Yeah.
It's so impressive.
It is, yeah. I think you're so much more in tune to this kind of stuff that we're talking about. Because I've noticed that, you know, some friends of mine who drink are not completely focused on bettering their life.
100%. Yeah. By the way, like now that I've been sober for 7 months being pregnant, mm-hmm. I have even more respect. I told my sister, I'm like, it's very impressive.
It opens up your eyes to a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
You kind of just see things in a different way.
And you also can see how like annoying people are when they drink.
Exactly.
I'm like,
no, it's true.
Am I like that? Ugh. You know?
Yeah.
So it does give you a lot of clarity to be sober. I've been sober for 7 months, so I can say that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So your skin looks amazing, and then we can finish up with that. What kind of stuff, like what's your favorite products?
Lots of oil.
What do you do? Really?
Oil. Like olive oil.
Really?
Oils. Argan oil, rose oil.
I always hear people talking about oils, and I've gotten oils before, and I've spent, you know, a ton of money on certain oils that were like highly rated, but then I felt like they made me break out, so I didn't end
just
up...
Just do like a really good cold pressed argan oil. I'm sending you coconut oil lube. I'll send you an oil in there.
I'm obsessed Yeah.
I'm going to send you an oil.
Do you like Lotion P50?
I like it a lot. I can't use that right now, though.
Oh, really?
I like it a lot. But that's a good one.
Okay. I'd say that's like my favorite. That and like a good serum I like.
What's your favorite serum?
Dr. Nigma number one serum.
You have to send me a link. I don't know what
okay.
that is.
Okay. I love it. It has plant stem cells and hyaluronic acid.
Ooh.
I've always wanted to try the Barbara Sturm one. Have you tried that one? The
hyaluronic? I like her stuff.
Is that good?
Yeah, her stuff's good.
Because I know everyone talks about that and posts pictures of it. So I wonder if it's really good or if it's just like a celebrity product.
No, her stuff's good.
Yeah.
It's good. She's very, very smart.
Yeah. I'm also using the La Mer Renewal Oil, which I like.
Okay.
But, you know, my friend just gave it to me. So it's not like I went
out. It's working.
And thank
you. Your skin looks really good.
Yeah. But yeah, I switch around stuff.
I would say oils, like you said, a good serum.
Mm-hmm.
I do not go in the sun for 1 second.
Mm-hmm.
I think the sun is super aging. You don't drink, so you get a one up on, like, that's mm-hmm. also so good for your skin. So much water, which is so boring. But it's true. And I think that facial manipulation and lymphatic drainage is so
what
underrated.
What is facial manipulation?
Like facial massage, where they drain your face.
Yeah, I haven't been doing that.
Go to Emmanuel
Blanc. I need to do
Blanc
that. Okay, I'm going
to
write it down.
And go to Taryn.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, mm-hmm. you will be obsessed.
Okay. Yeah, I'm obsessed with like, I love taking off my makeup at night and getting my face really, really clean is such a good feeling.
It's the best. And then to put like massage in with that.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I love that.
Yeah. Maybe you can massage your face while your husband's having sex with you at 2 a.m. So at least you're getting something done. I'm trying to optimize because when you
I'm
ask me that.
Rolling.
Yeah, I want you to be able to optimize that for that 5 minutes or whatever.
I know.
the 30 seconds.
Because it is five.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because let's kidding. Be real. One time we timed it. Well, we made like a sex tape. And in this like hotel room because the lighting was just so good. I'm really big on lighting.
Sounds amazing.
When it comes to hooking up. And then we're like, oh, that was 11 minutes. So now we know it takes 11 minutes. So sometimes I'm like, it's just 11 minutes.
So what can you do in 11 minutes? Like have it by your bedside
no,
and optimize
I would
it.
Never. I would never.
Just
that would be horrible.
Have it streamlined. Like
I love it. Well, Lauren, thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you for having me.
It was so much fun to learn about all these tips. And yeah, and I just want everyone I know to implement all of these.
We went all over the place and your questions are so interesting and good. I love them.
Thank you. And where can we find you? Where can we follow you?
At the Skinny Confidential and the Skinny Confidential Him and Her.
And that's your podcast.
That's our podcast on
iTunes.
Okay,
great. Thank you again. And please remember to subscribe, rate, and review to the Chelsea Skinmore Show on iTunes. And I just want to give a quick shout out to My Delight Scents. They sent me some amazing candles. Go to their page, check them out, mydelightscents.com. They have a deal right now where you can get 4 candles for $25 with the code CANDLE25. So yeah, they just sent me some awesome stuff and check them out for sure. Okay, thank you. Bye.